Chris? I don't know about you, but I'm pumped up. Ready to go. Thank you. That was really, really good. Thank you for being here. If you are our guest here, we are extremely glad to have you here. One of the things that Kent forgot to say is we'd love for you to fill out one of those cards in the pews in front of you. And if you would, just leave it in your pews so we could have a record of your attendance. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And just thank you for being here. Stay around so that we can get to know you a little bit better after worship as well. Last week, I wanted to do a host sermon, but only did half of it. And so this week, I'm going to try and get through the last half of that sermon. For you that weren't here, we're talking about rebellion and renewal. Rebellion and renewal. How our hearts, like Chris was talking about, how our hearts have a tendency to go their own way. And how God wants to restore that heart and bring it back to a place of renewal in our lives. And we looked at, and I was talking about this because this was born out of just some personal study I was doing kind of in the mornings. I do some of those almost every day. And as I'm in that time, I was going through 2 Chronicles and just reading it. And over and over and over, you see these times of people that are in rebellion and you see these times of people that are in renewal. And I'm wondering, what is it that helped people draw back toward God? What was it that had them and brought them back to Him? And a lot of it had to do with the king, the actual king. And a lot of it had to do with the mother who actually bore that king. And so you saw this just in the pages of these scriptures. And so I looked, and one of the places that I kind of ended up and just saying, I just want to concentrate right here on this to kind of give us an idea of that, was a king named Ahaz, about 200 years after Solomon. And so here King Ahaz is, and he was a horrible king. One of the things I didn't mention last week that he did, he burned a couple of his sons and sacrificed them to the pagan gods. Now that's how bad this king was, and he was a king of Israel. But his son, 16 years after he became king, 16 years of depravity, 16 years of all of these idols that were taken and put in the temple of God, brought in and worshiped in that temple, 16 years of idolatry. And a man by the name of Hezekiah, after Ahaz died, had a faithful mother. A mother who was the daughter of a priest named Zechariah. And I believe that her heart, her love for God, was taught to that child when he was young. And at 25 years old, Hezekiah becomes king. And in the first year, and it says the first month, King Hezekiah said, I am going to cleanse the temple. I am going to bring back worship into this land. Not worship of idols, but worship of the one and only God. And so he begins, and in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, you see this whole chapter of this cleansing that happens. And we see this passage, and this is the passage we kind of started out with last week, that says this. And this isn't on the screen, but just listen to this. This is Hezekiah. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him, for he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from him, following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him wherever he went out, and he prospered. He prospered. That was the Lord. That was Hezekiah, his love for God. We've sung about the love for God today. We've sung about our love for God. And those songs are songs that they would have been singing. Not exactly the same songs, but they would have been singing that in the temple. How do you restore a heart that is in rebellion? Before we get into this text, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. God, we come before you today thanking you for this time that we have to study your word, to just look at people's lives, to see how Ahaz was so rebellious. And Lord, I think about my own heart sometimes, and I think about how it can do the same thing, how in an instant it can walk away from you. And Lord, then I see Hezekiah, who walked faithfully with you all the days of his life, who consecrated the temple through the priests and the Levites, and brought worship to you back into the hearts and minds of the people. Lord, I thank you for this time of worship, this time of singing, this time of prayer, this time of being around this table with you today. For in it, we have drawn closer to you. And I thank you for this time of worship through your word. May we open our hearts and open our minds to receive it. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Last week, the first point, A, was a recommitment to the holy. And one of the things that I talked about back last week was that the priests and the Levites were told to go in and take everything out of the temple, all the unholiness, to clean it up, to consecrate themselves first. Before they did that, they all consecrated themselves. Now, as I thought about this and I thought about consecration, I wondered exactly what does it mean to consecrate yourself? What does it mean to be consecrated? And the whole idea of consecration is just to remove that which is not holy. But for the people of Israel, it actually meant something else as well. Not only were they supposed to clean out that which was on the inside, but they were supposed to, there was a lot of few things that they were supposed to do. To take the Passover, just to take the Passover, you had to be circumcised. And so, and even to come before God, a lot of it was you had to bathe, you had to clean your clothes, and you had to be a person that was, let's see, clean and clothes, there's missing one. What am I missing? Circumcision, cleaning clothes, cleaning yourself, what? Wash your hands? Well, that's kind of cleaning yourself and taking a bath, but that's okay. I'll figure it out one of these times here in a minute. It doesn't really matter. But anyway, that consecration. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but when I was a child, on Saturday night, it began with my parents. They consecrated me before Sunday. I was buffed. I was pressed. I was starched. I was Brill creamed and shined before worship. I'll let you see. Here's a picture. So that's my sister and my identical twin brother and myself. I don't know which one I am. Here's another picture. That's my grandmother. There are four of us now. Here's another picture. Five of us now. There we are. All bow ties, all cleaned, all buffed, all pressed. That's how we came to church. But it's interesting that the people who came to worship in Hezekiah's day didn't look buffed. The people in Hezekiah's day weren't shined. And a heart of renewal comes out of worship. And that's that second point, B. We can go to the next slide. And you see this next slide, and you see that for a majority of the people, listen to this, because this is so important. For a majority of the people had not cleansed himself. Here, Hezekiah is a king, and he says, I want to bring back worship. And so he brings back all the Levites. He brings back all the priests, and they consecrate themselves. They cleanse themselves. They are clean. And then he gets in there, and they go into the temple, and they clean everything out that's not supposed to be there, and they put everything back as just as it is. And then they call this feast, and Hezekiah goes to Israel and to Judah, and he says, come on. Come on, we're going to have this feast. We're going to celebrate the Passover. And so they celebrate the Passover, not on the day that they were supposed to at first, the first month, but on the second month. For those who were unclean during the first month, they could do it during the second month. I thought that was kind of interesting. And so in the second month, they're all ready, and they're there, and all the people show up. And for 16 years, these people have been idolaters. For 16 years, these people don't know what it means to come into the holy place of God. And for 16 years, and what you have here is people who have come, and they've come to this feast, and they are unclean. A majority of them are unclean. Because the one thing I forgot that you were supposed to do when you were someone who actually consecrated yourself. In Joshua 7:13, it says, I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get rid of the stuff that you're bowing down to and worshiping to. Get rid of that stuff in your life. Consecration not only is something that is done on the outside back then, this was something that was supposed to be done in the heart. For a majority of the people had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than as prescribed. God said in Exodus chapter 12, you can go look at it. It's going to be on your outline for the life group discussion guide. But in verses 42 through 47, somewhere around there, you see that the prescription, the prescribed way of doing the Passover, you've got to be circumcised. And here this says is that many of them were unclean. How many of them were uncircumcised? How many of them still had idols in their places? How many of them did not come? And I love what Moses says to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. And this is what needs to happen in our own life when he says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be not stubborn. God is not looking on the outside of our lives. God is not looking on what we wear. God looks on the inside of our hearts, and he knows them. He knows our hearts. He knows the rebellion. And what happens in this place is, I love what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord pardon everyone who sets his heart to seek God. And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. What grace! What grace! Them coming, not clean, and God shows them grace. Why? Because at that point in their lives, that worship time, that week-long worship of praising God, of remembering what Moses, what God had done for the children of Israel and how they passed over and how they came out of the land of Egypt. Remembering that time of worship, that was a time when all the people decided after this 16 years, and if you go back even the 16 years before that with the other king, you understand that they were still doing practices that were corrupt as people. That's what it says. And so for 32 years, you've got these practices that have been going on in the hearts of people. And it was worship that brought them near to God. I can't wait for Sunday mornings. I love singing. I love singing. I don't like hearing my voice, but I love singing. I love hearing this, the praise that was here this morning in this place. Awesome. And it makes me want to seek God and to know Him. And I appreciate the reading. I appreciate what Robert had to say. I appreciate what Leander read to us and the songs that Chris picked out today. And it helps me want to seek after Him. People, we are not the ones who cleanse ourselves. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins continually. And we are thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the grace of God that He shows me. And I know that you're thankful for the grace of God that He shows you in your life as well. And for us who are seeking Him, the Lord hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. And this was so wonderful for the people. Look at this next verse in verse 23. Then the whole assembly agreed together to keep the feast for another 7 days. This is why, way back when, for most of you were even born, that's why you did not just 1 week meetings, you did 2 week meetings. You know? Heart-seeking God, desiring His presence. That's where renewal happens. It comes in that time of worship, personal worship, but also corporate worship as well. And then I love what the priests and the Levites do for the people. It says, the priests and the Levites arose, and they blessed the people, and their voice was heard. And their prayer, love this, and their prayer came to His holy habitation in heaven. Their prayer, the prayer of blessing that they blessed these people, and the people felt blessed. I think that blessing came from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. It's a blessing I would like us to sing to each other today. So if you would you please stand and let's sing this song.
One rule for this song as we're singing it, we sing it with the Dora method. Just keep singing, just keep singing, just keep singing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Gracious, the Lord be gracious, gracious.
That blessing that was given to the people who were not cleansed, Their renewal was so much a part of their heart. They had been there for 2 weeks celebrating, worshiping a God they didn't know in many ways. And it led to that renewal, led to the elimination of that which was unrighteous, impure, and detestable in their lives. Listen to this. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke in pieces the pillars and cut down the asherim and broke down the high places and the altars throughout all Judea and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh until they had destroyed them all. The renewal that was in their hearts. Now they're consecrated. Now they've come to God not only the way that He prescribed, but now they come to Him in a way that says, my heart is in the right place. That expression of renewal, an expression of renewal, is a repented, changed life. A repented, changed life. One of the things that Hezekiah did was reinstate the priestly tax and the giving and the offerings of that day. And the people were so thankful for what had happened. They were so thankful for this renewal in their lives. They were so thankful to be away from all of that detestable stuff in their lives. They couldn't help but show gratitude to God. And that gratitude was in voice, but it was tangible for them. We want to show God that we actually mean it. And Hezekiah commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due the priests and the Levites, that they, listen, that they might give themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, the first fruits of wine, the first fruits of oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundance the tithe of everything. They gave them first themselves first to the Lord. And when I read that phrase, I couldn't help but go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and listen to this. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace God has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I testify, and beyond their means on their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. The expression of renewal in their lives was not only to get rid of everything and to take all of the idols away, but it was, what can I do for God? How can I show my gratitude, God, to you? And I love this next verse. In the third month, they began to pile up in heaps and finish them in the seventh month. For 4 months, they continued to bring and continued to bring and continued to bring until there were heaps, heaps of abundance When Hezekiah and the priests came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people, Israel. I thank you for being a generous congregation. I thank you for being a congregation that has always, always risen and to a point to where if there is a need, there is, it is there. And next week we have an opportunity to share in that gift of appreciation what God has done for us to do for others. To help in bringing Bibles to children and people who do not have a Bible. We have that opportunity next week. And I pray that this week you will think about what God has done for you and the blessings that he has given you this week. The grace that he has shown you, may he bless us as we show him our gratitude in what he has done for us. Let's stand and sing.